Drive Time on 91.3. Always on the cutting edge. WhatsApp line 072-238-0712. You can say your say, as I say in Afrikaans, on 072-238-0712. As the COVID-19 virus continues to spread and spread, there is an urgent need to slow the spread of the disease irrespective of the location. Urban areas, which are notoriously crowded, such as townships and informal settlements, yeah, that could be the hardest hit. Online is political economy researcher at Intellidex, Mamalechi Tsago. Welcome.
Hi, thank you for having me.
What is your take? How ready are we in our congested urban areas to face up to the tsunami of COVID-19?
I think that it mainly depends on where within the location you are. There are some places whereby vendors seem to be ready, but I would say that most of the people within those townships and informal settlements, including downtowns, are not particularly ready. And one of the reasons is just mainly just basic hygiene is not practiced often.
I mean, in your report, you said if you gave an example of a person sharpening their knife on the cement on a curbstone, and one may criticize that behavior, but when you look around, there's no taps, there's no running water, so that is the only place where the person can sharpen that knife, and from the pavement it goes to the throat of an animal.
Yes, that's exactly what happened. So when I looked around, I found out that actually even the people who are actually selling food by that particular street, they don't have running water close by. So what they would actually have is just a wet cloth that you can just use to wipe your hands and then consume food.
So obviously, in a scenario like that, if we want to be positive in terms of actually doing something, running water and soap would be a very urgent priority.
Yeah, but not just running water and soap. We'd also have to distribute hand sanitizers. So, for instance, those areas that I went to, particularly in Katerong, some of them are close to health clinics. So we can actually make use of the community health workers there who are already visiting some of the households that are affected by HIV and AIDS. They normally tend to visit this household. So we can also use those community workers to hand out hand sanitizers, including pamphlets just on how those COVID-19 can actually be reduced.
Did you find that people were quite receptive to learning about COVID-19, and if they would be given the opportunities to do something to prevent it, they most certainly would?
Yeah, definitely. I think so. I mean, it was interesting that people were aware of this virus that was going on. And also you find out that some of the vendors were actually mentioning that although we are aware of it, the thing is we can only stretch a rent so far, so we are unable to actually offer proper sanitation products. So then it does show you that people are willing, it's just that they can only stretch a rent so far.
So what do you think is the answer? Okay, you said local clinics nearby. I think it's going to boil down essentially to how do we manage to get hold of equipment for these people, and where do we find the monies for this?
If we just look at the fiscal contingency reserve, which is around $5 billion for this year, and if we also look at Section 16's Public Finance Management Act, which actually has an emergency expenditure there, which is capped at 35 billion rand. So we can make use of that money to actually cap this spread.
So do you believe that if there would be some will, political will, I think we call it, that that the scenario on the ground can actually be changed?
I do believe so. And the reason I believe so is because, of course, I've already mentioned that you can make use of community workers, including also the Isibindi program, whereby you have child and youth caregivers who are already dealing with households that are infected by HIV and AIDS. But we also have community leaders in townships and in informal settlements that we can make use of to educate people just on basic hygiene and how this virus is actually being spread. Moreover, if the government, yes, you just mentioned political will. If they do come on board, which they already are showing that they actually have an interest in curbing this the virus spread, I do believe that we can be able to reduce the spread in congested areas.
Do you think, maybe by accident, I don't know, Mamalechi, that we've actually underestimated our human resources, our human capital in the informal areas in terms of rolling out education on things like not only COVID-19, but HIV, AIDS and tuberculosis and all the other problems that we experience in these areas?
I can say that maybe to some extent we have sort of like downplayed that we can make use of our teachers and community leaders, because I do think that those people that do have an interest in those areas, after all, they're also teaching like the learners from those areas, so we can still make use of them.
Yeah. Now, when you were sort of doing an informal study, what are you going to do with the results? I mean, are you going to put it into a database? Are you going to make a noise to politicians? What are you going to do with it? Because it's quite interesting, some of the things that you sort of have come up with.
Yeah. So at Intellidex, we do interact with people, and also we've also placed the study on as a blog. So we have put it up on our website, and we've also put it up on other social media platforms.
So, and if somebody wants to check it out, how, what's the URL? How can they sort of tune into it?
Okay, so you just go to www.intellidex.co.za, and then you go to our iBlog tab, and the blog would be there.
As easy as that. Mamalechi Tosago, political economy researcher at IntelliDex. So having a look at the readiness of townships and informal settlements. There's a will. It's just for us to make a way. Mamalechi Tosago, enjoy the weekend.
Thank you. You too.
Drive Time 91.3. Always on the cutting edge.